Shazam! Holy moly! Welcome to another marvelous episode of Shazamcast. The other day, I did a poll on Twitter where you, the fans, got the vote on this episode's topic. The history of Captain Marvel was the winner. So, these next 2 weekends, I'm going to have a part one and a part two about the history of Captain Marvel. And the poll voting was not very close at all. The history of Captain Marvel was the clear winner, and it wasn't even very close. So let's jump in here and take a look at the crazy history of our beloved Big Red Cheese. Before we get the cap, we have to talk about Fawcett first. Fawcett Publications was founded by Wilfred Fawcett in 1919. The magazine he created was called Captain Billy's Whiz Bang. Fawcett Publication was an instant hit, pretty much, and spun off a number of different magazines in the 1930s. But everything changed after April 18th, 1938. That was the day Action Comics No. 1 hit the stands. As most of you know, Action Comics No. 1 was the first appearance of Superman. This was basically where superheroes were born. After the success of Superman, Fawcett wanted to capitalize on this success, so they started their own comics division. Bill Parker, who was a staff writer for the company, was brought over to create a number of new heroes for Fawcett, like Spy Smasher and Ibis. His most popular character, though, was the Big Red Cheese himself, Captain Marvel. Now, Captain Marvel wasn't originally called Captain Marvel when he was first created, and he wasn't even just one person. He was six kids. But Fawcett, a comics executive director, decided it would be best to combine the team of six and the one hero who would embody all six powers. So that's what he did. He cut him down to one and called him Captain Thunder. C.C. Beck was brought on to bring the character to life in the form of art. Beck wasn't your normal comic book artist. His art was more funny paper type art, and it really worked for the character because that's what he really liked to do, and it just gave Captain Marvel, or Captain Thunder, really at this time, a more whimsical approach. After attempting Thrill Comics and Flash Comics in the form of ash cans to get their trademark copyright, they were denied those two names, so Fawcett went with Whiz Comics and made one more major change. The name Captain Thunder was changed to Captain Marvelous. And then it was cut down to Captain Marvel by the time Whiz Comics number 2 hit the stands. And as you can say, the rest was history because Captain Marvel exploded. The character was such a huge hit, he was soon given his own title. After only being out for a little over a year, Republic Pictures released The Adventures of Captain Marvel. The first time a comic book superhero was ever brought to life. This serial adaptation, though different from the comics, was another hit in the short life of Captain Marvel. What do you do when your most popular character can't fail? You make more that is similar to him, and that is exactly what Fawcett did. In December of 1941, the world was introduced to Freddie Freeman, not the World Series champion who played for the Atlanta Braves, but a boy who became disabled after being in the middle of a Captain Marvel versus Captain Nazi fight. After being seriously injured in the fight, Captain Marvel shares his power with Freddy to save his life, and he becomes Captain Marvel Jr. He was also another massive hit for Fawcett, and even spun off into his own series, and was even Elvis Presley's favorite superhero. The very next year, Fawcett wrote out another member of the Marvel family. This time, it's a young girl who turns out to be Billy's twin sister, Mary. Mary was the main character in WoW Comics and ended up getting her own title, which ran from 45 to 48. In 1943, Fawcett did something that no one else in the comic industry did before. They created the first serialized story ever told in comics. It was also the longest running story. The Monster Society of Evil. This series ran for 25 chapters from 1943 to 1945, and issues number 22 through 46 of Captain Marvel Adventures. I'm not going to get into this too much because I plan on making a podcast that is devoted just to this historical story. This story brought together Cap's most ruthless villains into one team and also introduced one of his most popular villains, Mr. Mime. After this success with Captain Marvel, you would believe everything was great, but there was trouble in paradise. That trouble was none other than National Publications, now known as DC Comics. National and Fawcett had been locked in a heated lawsuit that claimed Fawcett stole the concept of Superman in order to create Cap. Fawcett countered that by saying Superman and Captain Marvel are both based off a strong man like Popeye. Another argument Fawcett used was National forfeited its intellectual property because their work was contracted to a newspaper who failed to properly copyright their work. All this didn't matter at the end of the day, though, because superhero sales started to decline. On top of that, the anti-comics movement that would later create the Comics Code was beginning to take shape. Fawcett figured it was time to cut and run because they thought the industry was dying. So what did Fawcett do? They decided to settle outside of court with National, and Fawcett stopped publishing Captain Marvel and the Marvel Family and paid National $400,000, which is a little more than $4 million in today's world. Marvel Family number 89 came out with a January 1954 cover date and a cover with a boy saying, "Holy moly, what happened to the Marvel Family?" And that was the last time the world saw the original Captain Marvel for nearly two decades. But it wasn't the last time the world saw the name Captain Marvel on a cover of a comic book in that time frame. There was a Captain Marvel where he would yell "split" and his limbs would detach from his body. This Captain Marvel was a journalist like Superman, had a ward like Batman, and the ward was named Billy Baxton, like Billy Batson. And he lived in a town called Riverview, like Archie's Riverdale. So this one took a lot of aspects from a lot of different comics. This version was not successful and only lasted five issues. It's believed that Marvel actually paid MF for the name Captain Marvel so they could create their own version. And that's exactly what they did in 1967. Their Captain Marvel, or Mar-Vell, was a Kree warrior who protected Earth. This version ended up getting his own title that ran into the 70s. And the early 70s is a very interesting time for our beloved original Captain Marvel. You'll have to check out for part 2 next Sunday to hear the rest of the history of our beloved Cap. How does Cap get brought back? What does DC do with him? What does DC do about the name? Tune in next time for the rest of the story.
So ends another adventure with the Mighty Marvel. You won't want to miss the next exciting adventure with star reporter Billy Batson, his sister Mary, their friend Freddie Freeman, lovable Uncle Dudley, and that amazing talking tiger, Mr. Tawny.